stretch. I want you to be relaxed and awake. You know, the problem about a service after a meal, even if it's at 1 o'clock, we come in at 1:30 or whatever, there's something about a nap time that seems to hit the body, and I want you to be awake. If you need to, do a little bit of movement to get your blood stirred. But I count it a blessing to have Brother Joe Morrell come and preach and to get to touch a little bit of the expertise of his past, his experience, as well as what we're going to hear tonight. So go ahead and have a seat. Brother Morrell, if you would, come on up. I've enjoyed every moment of fellowship that we've had together. And I trust, again, you come looking for a blessing and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart as he speaks to Brother Morrell in the message. So, brother, if you would, please.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Can you get that back light off back there?
Thank you.
It is good to see each of you here again tonight as we look to the word of the Lord. I have felt so warmly received since I've been here, and I thank you so very, very much. You know, I travel all over the world, literally. Since September, I've been in Finland, Latvia, Lithuania, Germany, Japan, and Cuba. Next week, I'll be heading to Juarez, Mexico. The week after that, to Monterrey, Mexico, and then home for 2 weeks, and head to the Philippines for 2 weeks. And what is so wonderful, I don't care where you travel in the world, when you meet with God's people and the Lord's churches, anywhere in the world, I mean, you walk in and it's just family. There is something that you just knits your heart together, and you're my brother and sister in Christ. You just know it. And that's one of the most marvelous things to me, not only about the Lord's work and the Lord's churches, but the Spirit of God. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit in missions. And we closed out last night with that about the power. But I want to continue along that thought, but I want to make it even more personal tonight. And I invite your attention to Acts chapter 13. And we're going to read in verses 1 through 5. And this is the story of the church in Antioch, Syria, became the sending church under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to send Paul and Barnabas and their team as missionaries. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John also to their minister. As you read this narrative, you'll see that the Holy Spirit is absolutely guiding the whole process. The living Holy Spirit of God is the person and the power of missions. He is so personal. He is so personal. All of us, and as I was talking about on the first night about the code 3 relationship with friends, all of us have had a friend or a brother or a mentor who was so personally connected with our lives. They care, they listen, they counsel, they connect. And they're always there walking with you in all of your pathway of life, so personal. Well, isn't that the way the Holy Spirit is also? That's who He is. I mean, when you were born again of the Spirit of God, He came in to live in you. He is with you. He will never leave you for nor forsake you. He is the one who guides you. And such is the personal connection of the Holy Spirit in missions. In our text, the Holy Spirit stepped in and personally called the missionaries and He called the church. In fact, someone say, I am a missionary. Well, the affirmation of that is going to have a sending church, because God brings the two together and calls them both. And so the Holy Spirit stepped in and personally called Barnabas and Saul, and He personally, through the leadership to the church, called the church in Antioch to be their sending church. And the Holy Spirit, through this church, as we see in verse 4, sent them. And from that point on, we see the Holy Spirit totally involved in missions, guiding, connecting, convicting the very person and the power of missions. I want to make this very personal. I'm going to share a few stories with you tonight. Because if you serve the Lord and you're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, He brings things together that there's no way you could orchestrate. He is very personal. It's very personal for me. And from the time that He called me to be a missionary to Lithuania back in the mid-90s in the Baltics, the Holy Spirit, as I look back on that whole process, the Holy Spirit was totally and personally directing and empowering the whole process. He's personal. He's very precious to me. And I could give you story after story of this reality in the missionary life. But I want us to look at the Holy Spirit in missions, and I want us to let us grasp and embrace what the Scripture has to say about this. First of all, the Holy Spirit is the promise of missions. The Holy Spirit is the promise of missions. Never forget this. This was prophesied by John the Baptist when he said in Mark chapter 1 in verse 8, I have baptized you with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus reiterated, and He called it the promise of the Father when He said in verse 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father which He have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so we see the promise is prophesied by the Father, by the Lord Jesus, by John the Baptist. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see this promise comes to pass as we read last night. As Jesus gives His last words before His ascension, the last thing that He prophesies and promises, He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea and in Samaria and into the othermost part of the earth. Now, it is prophesied, it is promised, it is promised to the church, it was promised to that assembly of 120, and the promise and the prophecy of the Holy Spirit was all about global missions. It's all about global missions. The day of Pentecost was not the birth or the beginning of the church, but it was the empowerment of the church, the anointing of the church, for global mission. And so the Holy Spirit is the promise for missions. The whole promise that took place in Acts chapter 2 is all about missions. Never ever forget that. That we would carry this message globally to the regions beyond. Second thing I want you to see is this. The Holy Spirit is not only the promise for missions, but the Holy Spirit is the power for missions. And we alluded to this last night. But when we talk about power, keep in mind when the Bible speaks about power, it speaks about dynamic power on one hand, this tremendous power unleashed, but also it talks about authoritative power. And that's what I want to talk about first. The Holy Spirit is the power for missions, and that is, He is the power through the commission the great commission that was given to the church. And what are we talking about there? We are talking about the authority that Jesus has given to his New Testament churches. And he has blessed that and he's anointed that with the very power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, all power. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What is he talking about? He is saying, this great commission was not given to the apostles. This great commission is given to the first New Testament church, and all New Testament churches would follow. If it was given merely to the apostles, then it died with the apostles. But notice what Jesus says. This authority, it will be with you even until the end of the age. The Jerusalem church no longer exists. But what is he promising? He is promising a perpetuity of churches from the time of Jesus Christ until he comes again. There will be those simple, local New Testament churches that have been true to the gospel that are reproducing other churches. And I just love that. The Holy Spirit is the power and the authority of missions. Jesus is the one unto whom all authority is given to the Father. John chapter 5 tells us this. All authority rests in Jesus Christ. But he commissioned his church with that authority. Let me illustrate it in this way. A police officer or a soldier is commissioned by the one who is in authority. And that's the same as it is with the church. We have full authority vested in us by the one who holds the authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the commissioned church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 is the promise. Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of this promise. And on that day, the Lord Jesus Christ immersed or baptized the church with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that church received power to carry out the Great Commission with full authority. At Pentecost, God showed his approval of the church that his Son had created. And listen, when I think of the church, my heart just rejoices. I mean, God in his infinite wisdom, he wanted to create a new society for believers, and he created the New Testament church. And we can see the picture even in creation. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and God would create the beast. He would create the cattle. He would create the fish. And he created man. And everything that he created, what did he say? And they reproduced after their own what? Kind. What do we see in creation? Everything created by God and infused with the very life of God, does what? If she is healthy and alive, reproduces after its own kind. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are created by God, infused with the Spirit of God, and if they're healthy and alive, they're going to reproduce after their own kind. Churches reproducing churches. And if a church is not reproducing other churches, she's not healthy. Because she's been vested with authority. And she's been vested with power to do that. And since there is only one Holy Spirit baptism, future churches that would follow descending from that church in history has the same power. And doctrine and practice also has the approval and the power of the Holy Spirit. The first Samaritan church was met with approval and the power of the Holy Spirit. We can see that in Acts chapter 8 in verses 1 through 17. We don't have time to read that. The first Gentile church in the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Also, it was authenticated and was infused by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see church after church after church are created by the Lord and infused by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. The next thing I want you to see as we look at this power this power by commission, but it's also the power of conviction. Do you remember when the Lord was convicting you to be saved? Just drawing us, convicting us. Jesus talked about this. And he talked about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he said in John chapter 16, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the peace of this world is or the prince of this world is judged." Notice the power of conviction. The Bible says in verse 8, Jesus said he convicts the whole world. You read Romans chapter 1, and it talks about the wrath and the very judgment of God is made known to all people, so they're without excuse. Brother Joel and I were standing outside the abortion clinic today, this morning, and even lost people walking in, you could see. They knew in their heart what they were about to do was wrong. You just know it. Because God has revealed his righteousness in his judgment so that all are without excuse. He convicts the whole world. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, that is, unbelief, because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. He convicts of righteousness because we don't measure up. He convicts of judgment. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you face the judgment of hell and the wrath of God. Sin is the problem and righteousness is the cure. And without the cure, which is righteousness, the judgment is sure, it is swift, and is it eternal? And the power of the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces, not the persuasion of men, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts the very conscience and heart. That encouragement leads me as a missionary. Because I know that if I am faithful to share the gospel and faithful to share the word, the Holy Spirit is going to do his part. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and 7, as the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon that first church, Peter stands up before them, and he opens the word of God, the very prophecies of Christ from the Old Testament, and he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both the Lord and Christ." And when they heard him, they were what? Pricked, convicted in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul speaks about the power of witness and the power of conviction. And he says, "And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but I came unto you declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you with weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." As a missionary, that gives me hope. And that gives me encouragement. Not only does the Holy Spirit, is he the promise of missions, not only is he the power of missions, but thirdly, I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit directs to the place of missions. Brother Tim shared tonight, you knew God was stirring you to go someplace else. You didn't know what was happening. But it's amazing how God brings that together. God knows the place. He knows the place. I can remember when the communist wall in the Soviet Union collapsed and and the Iron Curtain came down and the gospel was door was being opened up in the former Soviet Union. I was a pastor in Louisiana, in Bossier City, Louisiana. I had been pastor there for 18 years. We were a very mission-minded church, and I said, God, you call the missionaries to go to Eastern Europe. You call them, Lord, and I promise you I'll lead this church to support them. Guess what? And I became so burdened for Eastern Europe, and God called me. Look at Acts 16. God knows the place. Look at verses 6 through 10. And when they had gone through Phrygia and to the coast of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That intrigues me when I read that statement. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go in to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Wouldn't let them go there either. Notice the next verses. And they passing through Mysia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in that night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after that, we had seen the vision. Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. I want you to notice that. God knows the place. Macedonia? Yes. Asia? No. Not now. With the Lithuania, I started going over there in 1995. That was about a year and 6 months, first time I went, after the last of the Russian troops pulled out. And we went to Lithuania, moved there in July of 1997 after making several team trips over there over a two-year period for the purpose, starting the Lithuanian Baptist Institute for the purpose of training Lithuanian pastors and missionaries and church planters. And in my mind, in my heart, I thought, well, we'll start this school and God's going to call Lithuanian men to preach and they'll be sent out as missionaries. And my vision was only for Lithuania. After a few years, after 4 years, I get a call from Riga, Latvia. And it's a Russian pastor who was a former in the underground Baptist church during the communist era. And he said, we've heard about your school. Could you come and help us? And at this time, I was serving as missionary pastor of the church at Christ Mission Baptist Church in Lithuania, and we end up starting an extension school in Riga, Latvia. And then the pastor went to Germany as a missionary. His wife was German. And the church asked me, would you serve as missionary pastor until you can get someone trained? So I was spending 2 weeks in Lithuania, 2 weeks in Latvia, and students were preaching in both places. And God blessed. And missionaries were sent in Lithuania, sent out and totally funded by the churches of Lithuania. God opened the door in Latvia. And in my mind, the next thing was to go to Estonia, because you've got Lithuania, you've got Latvia, you've got Estonia. Then you go across the Bay of Finland, and there's Finland, and Helsinki, Finland. And so I said, Lord, the next step's going to Estonia. And so we took a team, and we did survey trips. We went to cities. Brother Joel was on one of those trips. And we went in Estonia and city after city. No door opened. And so in my mind, in Riga, Latvia, we'd already trained men. And pastors were in place, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, where they ordained elders in every city and then commended them to the Lord. They were on their own. Same thing had happened in Kaunas. We also had Lithuanian faculty in place in the Bible Institute. I said, my time is up. And I wanted to go back to the States in my own mind one day to teach missions in the Bible school. And a school in Florida invited me to come. The president of the school called and he said, we want you to start a missions and a missions training department in our Bible college. Would you come and do it? And I said, that's it. That's it. And so I got on a plane and I flew to Florida and I walked in his office. And, you know, I'm just jumping at straws on this. I wish I could tell you that I was just every moment making the right decision. But I walk into his office, sit down to tell him I'm coming to Florida. And I said, before, I just got off the plane, I said, before we have our conversation, can I check my email? He said, sure, open up my email. There's a Russian pastor in Helsinki, Finland, who had been in underground Baptist churches for years, been persecuted. And he said, we've heard about your school in Riga, Latvia. In fact, I used to go down to Riga during the Soviet times. He said, could you help us in Finland? And here I'm in this president's office to tell him I'm accepting the position. I had no peace in my heart. And I told my wife on the plane flying over, I'm just not settling on this. What I'm saying is this. God said no to Estonia, and all of a sudden he opens the door to Finland. I ended up spending 4 or 5 more years over there. And we opened a school in Finland. In fact, the Lithuanians still have an extension school in Finland. And Brother Brian Sellers, Brian Johnson and Brother Seth are helping even with that. I want you to notice this. Macedonian, yes. Asia, no. Lithuania, Latvia, yes. Estonia, no. Finland, yes. With that one call from Pavel Voroninka. Not only does God know the place, but God knows the timing. I want you to look at Acts chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And we say, well, what about Asia? Did God just want to forsake Asia? Listen to what happens. It's all about not only God, the Holy Spirit directs the place, but the Holy Spirit also directs the timing. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that which was before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And he continued by the space of 2 years, so that they which dwelt where? In Asia. Heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. That's the Spirit, folks. God knows the timing. Yes, Asia now. Before, no, but later. And the Holy Spirit opens the doors and he guides to the place of his timing. And then lastly, I want you to see this. The Holy Spirit guides not only to the place in missions, but he guides to the people in missions. And you serve the Lord long enough, you're going to see this over and over again. You'll look and say, wow, Lord. He leads to specific people groups. In Acts chapter 10, we see how the Spirit of God led and directed Peter and his entourage to go to the house of Cornelius. They had to overcome their Jewish prejudice because they could not in their minds wrap around that the kingdom of God would expand to Gentiles. And the Lord had to give Peter a lesson. But in Acts chapter 10, he goes to the household of Cornelius and he preaches the word of the Lord. And all those people that are assembled come to know the Lord, and the first Gentile church is established. The whole household of Cornelius. We see this same thing in the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Here was Paul and Silas. They're in prison in Philippi. They have been beaten. And then the earthquake comes and God and the Philippian jailer is about to take his life. And the Lord brings him to his home. And not only is the Philippian jailer saved, but his whole household. And he baptizes them all. The Holy Spirit will guide you to the people he has prepared. I remember when I was missionary pastor at Christ Mission Church Mission Baptist Church in Kaunas, Lithuania. I'd only been there a couple of years about this time. And the church had embraced faith promise, and we were teaching missions and missions and missions. And at the same time, we wanted to build a total indigenous work that Lithuanian missionaries are sent out by Lithuanian churches and funded totally by Lithuanian churches. And we decided we're going to do that from day one. And I told them on day one, I'm not raising any money in America for Lithuanian pastors and or missionaries. Not going to do it, because the promises of God, the financial promises of God, do not just apply to rich countries or churches. It applies to anyone who dares to trust Him. The Macedonian churches were the poorest of the poor, but they were the champion givers. And so we began to pray. And we began to pray and say, where can we send a missionary? The other thing that I had on my heart, it was not only planting indigenous churches, but also to send people out in pairs. Because in the Bible, you don't see somebody just going alone. And so we began to pray, what city in Lithuania? This was the first step. What city? Had the whole church praying, and a couple in the church stood up and they said, we are from Utena, Lithuania, which is about 100 miles away. We had family there, and they've been living in Kaunas, and we've gone back and we've shared the gospel with our family, and they've been saved, and there were several in that family, and they're praying for a church. And then about that time, I met a fellow by, y'all know him, I think he was here 3 years ago, by the name of Brian Johnson. This is about 1998, and I met with Brian Johnson, and he was learning the culture and learning the language. He said, but after 2 years, I want to go out and plant a church. I said, what do you have on your mind and heart? Where to go? He says, Utena. And then we had a student in our school that God had called him, and by the name of Gediminas Kapostavičius. Repeat after me, Gediminas Kapostavičius. I can say it. Most people call him Gedi. Gedi had on his heart to go to Utena. And it's amazing. Not only did the Lord raise up Christ Mission Baptist Church to send Brother Gediminas to Utena, but also he paired up him with Brian Johnson, and they became a great missionary team. And Brother Brian's still in Utena. And guess what? The time came I need to step down as pastor at Christ Mission, because we wanted an indigenous leader. And Gediminas came back, and he's been the pastor there for almost 20 years. It's amazing how God brings it all together. God opens the doors and it guides you to a prepared people, but he also does it to individuals. He also does it to individuals. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Philip is leading in the establishment of the first Samaritan church, and then the Spirit tells him to go out into the desert, in this secluded desert, and all of a sudden he comes upon this Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot who happens to be reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he joins him and he shares the gospel with him, and he's saved and he's baptized. And in the middle of that, not only God lead you to people groups, but God will lead you to individuals. I'm going to share a story with you. And I look at this, and how many people live on the earth? Somebody tell me. How many? 8 billion. How many nations are on the earth? It's a lot. We were working in Helsinki, Finland, in the institute. And this was back 20 years ago. And there were two sisters in the church that had come from Azerbaijan. And their father was pastor of a Baptist church there. And if you know the history of that area, you also know that there was great persecution on certain groups of people there, not only by the Muslims, but also by the Soviets. And there were mass slaughters that were taking place. And literally, people's homes were shot up with machine gun fire from Muslims. And even as refugees were being taken out, They were being shot at by Soviets. And so many countries in the world opened up their door for these refugees from Azerbaijan, and some of them went to Finland. And these two sisters in the church, they had been involved in harboring these refugees back there, and then they came to Finland, immigrated to Finland. But they were still staying in contact with these refugees. So one day, and they were always praying for these refugees. They'd been, and they said they had shared the gospel with many of them, but many of them had not been saved. And so one day, I'm in the Bible Institute, we're having prayer requests. Those two sisters were both students, and one of them said, "Do you know of anybody that's going to Denver, Colorado, because there are two sisters that are refugees that are not saved, I still stay in contact with, that somebody could go and share the gospel?" And it blew my mind, because I told them, I said, "Believe it or not, I'm going in 10 days. I'm flying to Denver to meet with a pastor in Loveland, Colorado." And she said, "We've been praying for God to send someone to share the gospel with them." And so I flew into Denver, went to Loveland, Colorado. I met with the pastor there, Brother John Sanders, and we went to visit those two sisters. And both of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and sharing the gospel with them. And after they both received Christ, they looked at me and they said, I told them that my sending church was in Arkansas. And they looked at me and they said, "We have a niece that is also a refugee that lives in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Could you go and share this same story with them?" I said, "I'd be glad to. I'm heading back to Arkansas to my sending church." And my sending church is about 130 miles away from Arkadelphia. We're in Mountain View, Arkansas. So my wife and I fly in. We contacted this young lady and her husband. We contacted this young lady and her husband, met them at a Cracker Barrel restaurant in Arkadelphia. He was not able to come because he just had back surgery. So I shared the gospel with her, and her aunts had also done the same thing. And she said, "I want to tell you, my husband couldn't be here because he just had back surgery." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Who did your husband's back surgery?" And she named the neurosurgeon in Little Rock. And she said, "You know, when we were there, my husband and I were both talking Russian in the waiting area, and one of the nurses came out and said, 'You're speaking Russian, aren't you?'" "Yeah," I said. "How do you know?" Said, "My daddy is a missionary in Lithuania." Said, "Well, who is your daddy?" "Joe Morrell." And so my daughter was able to talk to them. I mean, you think about this. Refugees from Azerbaijan, from Helsinki, Finland, to Denver, Colorado. I go to Arkadelphia, and the one person they asked me to go and talk to, my daughter had already met them, because my daughter was an RN in a neurosurgery clinic. And only the Spirit of God can orchestrate all of that. And I mean, it blows my mind. That's why I ask you, how many countries and how many people on the earth, and how in the world can all these people cross paths? And I could tell you story after story. Only the Holy Spirit can direct you to the people like that. But not only that, it gives you words to say. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, Jesus says, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Not only does the Holy Spirit know the place, and he leads you to the people, whether it's people groups or individuals, but he also directs and guides you what to say to connect with their heart and to connect with their conscience as you share the gospel with them. Listen to me very carefully. All scripture, all Bible truth that you've ever read, that you've ever read, that you've ever learned is like a computer in your mind. It's there. You read the Bible, you read the Bible, you study the Bible, you read the verses, they are in your mind. And it's like a computer, and you put something away in a file, it's there. And it's written on the file of your heart and in your mind. And it's amazing to me, at the right time and the right opportunity, when you're sharing a person, regardless of what the background is, the Holy Spirit will bring up the file and give you the words to say in that situation. And if you've ever shared Christ with people, you know what I'm talking about. He'll bring things to mind that you thought you had forgotten. So what am I saying is this. When we talk about this wonderful work of missions, when we talk about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk about the work of the Lord Jesus churches, the Holy Spirit indeed is the person and the power of missions personally in you and in our churches. Such power and authority lives in and through the churches and through her missionaries and through their preaching. That encourages me, because it's not according to my ability or my power. I mean, we are all weak vessels, but filled with the Spirit of God and directed by the Spirit of God, God does amazing things through weak and broken vessels. And so the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God stand boldly, even in a world of darkness, as a shining light. And we hear these words of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Not only is that the message of the church, but praise God, that is the message of the Holy Spirit of God that is affirmed through the preaching of the gospel, through the missionaries that are sent, and the churches that proclaim his word. Let that be a blessing. Let that be an encouragement. You're not alone in this. We have the Spirit of God. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we come to you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. God, your Holy Spirit is so lovely and personal, so involved in guiding and directing. Lord, many times we don't know the way, but then you show us the way. You are the power of missions. You are the person of missions. You are the one who guides us to the very place and the very people. And you open up the doors and thank you.